Luke chapter 1. How many of you are struggling with allergies right now? Let me see your hands, all right? It's well over half of you. You're the chosen ones. I think I am too as well. And the rest of you, those who didn't raise your hand, just turn around and smack the ones that didn't. No, I'm just teasing. Please don't take it seriously. It's nice if you don't have those problems, but all of us who do, we certainly appreciate when we don't. And so, Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the wonderful testimony of a mother here. And Lord, we know that it is such an important opportunity for every woman to bear a child. And Father, we pray that you'll please speak to us. Lord, we want to honor mothers today. We're thankful for them. Lord, in a world that is so driven by position and by trying to advance careers, Lord, I pray we would take the moments that we have and stop and applaud motherhood. And Lord, we pray that not just motherhood, but godly motherhood. Speak to us in the moments we have together today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Mother who has prayed.
Someone has said, if I could mother the world, I could save the world. You know, the importance of motherhood has been diminished in a materialistic society. And I think it's time that we take a moment and stop and just look at what God says about motherhood. Today is a day in which we want to honor and respect you for who you are as a mother. And we thank God for that. In fact, you realize that motherhood is not a new concept. It's a very old concept. It was God that originated the fact that a woman was to bear a child. He could have chosen another way, but that's how God chose to do it. And today, we certainly need to understand that God has much to say about mothers. America needs to take a hard, long look at what God has to say about mothers. Mothers are busy. They're hardworking. People that know very little rest. One man said this, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. And God uses Mary as an example, a godly example of a mother. She was no goddess. She was a sinner, just like anyone else. But the Bible says that God chose her. God placed in her hands the responsibility of bearing the Savior of the world. His life was in her hands. I'm just so thankful they didn't believe in abortion in those days. Glad they didn't terminate the pregnancy for some odd reason. Even though probably in that society in which she was living, they would have probably have done something like that had they had the technology to do something like that. But what was it about Mary? Why? What did she possess? What was it that God selected her? Why not someone else? Why not maybe Elizabeth? Well, Mary, I suggest to you in this passage, there are some qualities that Mary had that made her uniquely at God's disposal. She was a servant, a special servant. She had a servant's heart. Our theme this year, as many of you know, we've been learning, serve the Savior. Serving the Savior. That's what it's about. That's why we're here. It's what the ministry is about. That's what Calvary Baptist Church is about. We're not serving the preacher or the deacons. We're serving the Savior. Who is she? Well, I would suggest you might want to write down these things inside your bulletins, a little insert. I want you to notice, number one, the very first reason why that God selected her. What was the quality that she had? Well, number one, she was called by God. And I want to tell you this, if for no other reason than the very fact that God called her would be the reason why he wanted her to be used, that would be good enough. I think we need to understand that being called by God is a special privilege. He selected her. Verse 27, the Bible said that he sent Gabriel. Gabriel was to come and he was to go, and the Bible says he was to find her in Nazareth. Nazareth was an unlikely place to find a virgin because there were very few. Kind of like the modern high school of today, I think, perhaps. There were very few, but there were some. Nazareth was a city that was filled with debauchery and wickedness and licentiousness. The Bible said that God sent Gabriel to go find this young girl. Her age was about, she was about 16 to 18, and she was pure. She knew not a man. The Bible made it very clear, and just to let you know, I still believe in old-fashioned purity. Still believe that when God places you, your body is not until the wedding night for your spouse and not before. God created the home. He established the guidelines. It was God that chose those. And God chooses the mothers. And just to remind you of this, the mother that God's given you, you need to be satisfied with the mother God gave you. And this was God's selected mother here for Jesus. I as I look at it, I'm just glad that she responded to the call. That she was willing to listen. I wonder if God speaks to your heart about something, are you willing to listen? Mary was God called, and so because of that, she was given a special selection. But second of all, I want you to write this down in verse 30, her approval. What was it about it? If you notice in verse 30, the Bible said she found favor. Favor. In fact, it's mentioned twice. Once in respect to God, but then it says in respect to her. The Bible said in verse 28, thou art highly favored. Meaning that that word favor means that there was a kindness, a specialty, an attraction, if you would. Something about her. I don't know what it was, but there was something about her in her life. Perhaps it was her spirit. Maybe it was her attitude. Maybe it was her spiritual nature that she had. But the Bible said that she was highly favored and that she found favor with God. That's not the first time we find that in Scripture. It's spoken of often that it even spoke of Jesus. That Jesus was one that had favor with God and with man. But she had favor, the Bible says. And so we notice her that he approves her because of the favor that she had. Service is that which God calls us to do. And he calls her through the Word of God that she might do what God had asked her to do. You see, it was through that that she had captured the heart of God. That was Mary. And I want to tell you this. It's important for us to make sure we have favor with God in our life. How about you? How about you ladies? How about you gentlemen? Do we have favor with God? You see, favor with God means that we're willing to hear what God has to say. And the very first thing we need to hear is that we need to hear the fact that we need a Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. See, none of us are perfect. We're all sinners, and that's why Christ came to die on the cross for man's sin, so that we can be forgiven. Aren't you glad he's a forgiving God? So the very first quality that we need to recognize in a godly mother, a servant here in Mary, was the fact that she was entrusted with the calling of God, and that with that, that God had chosen her, selected her to bear the Savior of the world. I want to remind you ladies that children that God has given you, God selected to give them to you. In fact, the Bible said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I just want you to know that this child that God gives to you, where whatever, however they come, That's God's selection for you. And just as the child is to be accepting of the mother, so much must the mother be accepting of the child, just as he is. And I believe that's the way God intends it to be. But there's another quality I notice here in Scripture. The quality is this. Number two is she was prepared by God. God prepared her. A discussion was made as a ladies' retreat one time years ago. They asked, what is the best age to train a child? Many years ago, people were trying to discuss that. What is the best age? One lady suggested, I believe, about 6 years old. That's the perfect age in which to train a child. And the discussion was passed around back and forth. And someone else said, oh, no, I think it would be better that a child be, if you want to know when the best training of a child is, when they're 2 years old. And others were thinking, well, we're getting closer, but that still may not be enough. Perhaps maybe 6 months old. That might be the perfect time we train the child. And some of the senior ladies sat back and listened to these young women discuss when the best training of a child is. And one lady decided that it's about time that something be said. And here's what she said. She said, the best training of a child is 20 years before the child is born. That's when the mother was born. You see, the idea is that the training of a child is always best when it begins with the mother first. You see, ladies, God may be preparing some of you, and you young people, God's preparing you one day, you young ladies, to be a mother perhaps. And what God is saying to you, the training for your child begins with you. It's you. That's where the training begins. If you want to have really great kids, be a great mother. Be the kind of mother that you should be. You know, I think somehow we've got this, you know, sort of this societal creation of what a woman is to be. Let's stop listening to what society says and go back to what God says in His Word. And I want to remind you about how God prepares you. Number one, write this one down. You were physically designed. God made you different from a man. You are a female. The Bible says that back in creation, that God made He male and female. There are distinctive roles and differences. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of get real sickened with the fact that we're trying to blend roles together. Why don't we just accept what we are? Look, I am not a woman. I don't want to be a woman. I don't claim to be a woman. I'm not going to turn out to be a woman. You say, what do you mean by that? I don't care where you go to Colorado Springs and you can get a sex change if you want. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Accept your role as it is. Amen? You know, I think it's time that we realize that God made us for, He made us that way. That God has given you a womb for bearing children, as He mentions here in Scripture. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just telling you, there's physical differences, and God did it on purpose. And there should be great honor and respect given to a woman because of that. No, she is not to be an object of observation. She's to be an object of respect and proper treatment. So she was physically designed. And second of all, she was emotionally designed. You don't realize that a woman has a tenderness and a touch and a nurturing and an affection that's unique to her children that a man could never offer. That's the way God made a woman. I'm glad of that. Her love goes very deep. She recognizes the fact that a child is a part of her very being. It's the way God designed it. This love cannot be substituted. And you say, where do you get that from? The Bible. Let me give it to you. I'll give you a couple of verses. I wrote them down there for you. Look at one. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah 66, verse 13. How about this one? But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Notice it doesn't say a father, it says a nurse. In other words, the idea then is that there's an emotional creation. There's that tenderness that's there. That a man can be tender, don't get me wrong, but a woman has a special place with her children. See, how do you know that? It's easy. Wait till football season rolls around. You always can tell that, can't you? You know, we laugh about that a lot. I bring that up, you know, from time to time. Don't worry about this time of year. You know, here's a big, strong, huge football player. They'll pan the camera and he'll look at the camera and go, "Hi, Mom." He doesn't say, "Hello, Dad." "Hi, Mom." Because there's something about that. That's the way it is. Because she loves her children. And she's shown a tenderness to her son. And her work for her son. She does those things. You see, a woman is busy about that. One man wrote it this way: nobody knows of the work it takes to keep the home together. Nobody knows of the steps it takes. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody listens to the childish woes which kisses only heal. Nobody pained by naughty blows. Nobody but mother. Nobody knows of sleepless care bestowed on baby my brother. Nobody knows of the tender prayer. Nobody, only mother. Nobody knows of the anxious fears lest darlings may not weather the storms in life. After years, nobody knows but mother. Nobody kneels at the throne above to thank the Heavenly Father for the sweetest gift, a mother's love. Nobody can but mother. See, God has made a woman uniquely designed so that she could be a mother. But then there's one more preparation. I want you to write this one down. Don't miss this. There's a spiritual design as well. I am convinced that the most powerful force in America is a godly mother. I'm convinced of that. You see, God designed it that way. There's just something about it. I'm amazed about how many young people are saved because of a godly mother. I'm thankful that God has given us some godly mothers in our church. You see, a godless mother will ruin a nation. But a godly mother can turn a nation back to Christ. See, God uses a mother to exemplify Christ in the home. Let me ask you, mothers, what kind of example are you giving to your children? They're watching you. They see what goes on in your life. They see Christ in you. That's God designed it that way. Spiritually, God designed it that way. There's nothing like a family going together, a husband and a wife. See, here's what I believe. Look at me very carefully. I want you to get this. I believe a husband and wife ought to go to church together. Occasionally along the way, I don't do a lot of weddings. I do a lot more funerals than weddings. And occasionally I'll have couples come and want me to do weddings for them. And so they will ask me. One of the things I do when I do weddings is I do what I call preliminary interview. The preliminary interview is this. They come and they sit down and they tell me what they're looking, you know, what they want to do and how they want to handle their, you know, their wedding and I want to find out a little bit from their heart about wedding and what their plans are and something else. Parents, you'll appreciate this. Do your mom and dad, what do they think about it? I want to know about all those things, okay? So I call it a preliminary interview. I don't just, you know, if a guy says, "I want to get married," and all that, okay, fine. Let me interview you first, you know? And so I like to sit down and talk to them, and here's one of the questions I'll ask. Here's the question. Listen, and this is it. I'm telling you, this is exactly what I ask. I'll say, "All right, tell me, where are you guys going to go to church when you get married?" And sometimes I get a range of answers. And what they answer there will determine whether I'll proceed with my part in the wedding. So, for example, someone says, I grew up in this church. I grew up in Lutheran church, and he grew up in the Baptist church, so we're going to go to our own churches. It won't work. It doesn't work that way. See, families ought to go to church together. Couples ought to be in church together. A family that goes to church together have a greater likelihood of staying together than those who ignore church altogether. Write that down. That's a good quote. I like that. God just gave that to me. I'm preaching today. I'm telling you. Look, I am tired of watching families crumble and fall apart. I think it's time we get back to some revival in the homes. And I'm going to tell you the key. Listen to me. It's the key is a mom. That's the way God designed it. Moms, you carry a major responsibility. Don't worry, guys. You'll get yours next month, all right? Some of the ladies are like, boy, I wish you'd let up. But I'm telling you, it's key. And the Bible said, notice, he didn't go to Joseph. He went to Mary. Why? Because God knew the mom is the key in this. It's the key to the children. It's the key to the future. And God wanted him to realize, and so God prepared her. She was specially prepared by God. Thank God he made her and prepared her for that way. Not only that, but she was called by God. But write this one down, one more. She was ordained by God. She was ordained by God. God had a plan. She was going to be a mother. She was going to have children. And that meant all kinds of things that came within a home, what that was going to be. I ran across this. It says, insanity is hereditary. You get it from your children. I had to put that in. I just love that quote. And some of you can kind of understand that. You say, if you only knew my kids, you're right. But she was ordained by God to bear a child. And that child is a special calling by God. I mean, somehow or another, we've just missed this. You know, families that do it backwards have missed this. This is what it is about. Notice her opportunity. Write this one down. Her opportunity. She had an opportunity. She was going to conceive a child that God was going to use to be the Savior of the world. This was God's son. This was no mere child, though. This was the Savior. The Son of God, the Bible said. He's the Son of the Highest. Had to be a virgin birth, because any other way, any other natural birth, he would have been a sinner just like you and me. But he was the Son of God. And she was given the great opportunity to bear that. Now, you know, I know that this is one-time deal, but do you realize the opportunity you have as a mother of bearing children? You have a great opportunity for the future. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, we're driving down the road. We're looking at all the changes that happened. I've been here 18 and a half years. It's been a lot of changes in 18 and a half years. I mean, a lot of changes. A lot of changes in our church. A lot of changes in us. And we're looking at the future, and, you know, thinking about our kids growing up and the future and all of that. You know, we do this. We just kind of think about that. I don't know. Maybe it's getting older and you start thinking about that. I don't know. You just get weird sometimes, you know. So we're thinking about the future and thinking about what they're going to face in the future. And do you realize the opportunity we have to mold and shape the future? Honestly, in some ways, I think this next generation is so much sharper than our generation. They're a sharp bunch. What a difference they can make for the future. And in a sense, I don't ever think of it this way. You know, when my children grow up, they're out on their own. It's kind of like, okay, have a wonderful life, enjoy. No, I think I'm coaching them at that point. We parent them when they're home. We coach them when they become adults. Let's not forget that. And God is showing us here in the passage that we have a great opportunity. And Mary, she had an opportunity to, aren't you glad she had a godly home for Jesus to grow up in? Obviously, she had God there. But I thought we had God in our home too. I thought He's supposed to be there. I thought He's supposed to be the center of everything that we do, all our activities. I thought that's the way it's supposed to be, and that is the way it's supposed to be. She was given the grave responsibility of fulfilling the plan of God. Secondly, her occupation. Motherhood requires work and responsibility. Don't you agree with me, ladies? It is a work and responsibility. Her occupation. I'll be honest with you, I think any of you ladies that work out of the home, you have two jobs. You have one job as a mother, and then one job out of the home. I think you have double duty. One man writes, he said, one day a census taker showed up at our home. So I was hanging around, I thought I would take a look. He wrote our names, ages, and put down dad's occupation and mother's name, and he wrote by her name, no occupation. Why? Mother's up before it's light. Through the work she races, and through the day she's busy, she starts breakfast, straightens things, and washes all the faces. She packs our lunches, finds our books, of course. It keeps her busy. She washes, irons, sweeps, dust. You'd think she'd be dizzy. She bakes a cake and maybe pies. She finds some time for sewing. There's mending, making over too, because we're all growing. The dinner comes and dishes next. First thing, then another. And when our homework bothers us, we say, please help me, Mother. So she keeps going all the time. And though she's often weary, she never gets real out of sorts. She's always happy and cheery. She keeps so busy every day and sure needs some vacation. Yet the census man had written down by her name, no occupation. He just didn't know, did he? Mothers, we applaud you today. We know you work. It's your occupation. I didn't realize how it was until we had our children. We were 9 years before our first one came along. We had our children, and the very first day that my wife decided she was going to go to the store without us, she says, you need daddy time. I didn't know what daddy time was. I said, sounds good to me. What is it? I'm thinking it meant, like we go out and go to the baseball park or something, She said, you need daddy time. I'm going to the store. You'll figure it out. I remember having daddy time. And I said, daddy time's already over. You got mama time from now on. But it's a lot of work. But mothers, we thank you. I think there's something about a mother also. I probably didn't put this in, and I'm really trying to be complimentary, but one of the things I want to keep in mind is this. There's a lot of patience that mothers have. And I'm thinking about how many times I've been so impatient, and yet the patience that's there is just amazing. So from this, what do we learn? Well, God says that we have a godly mother here. We have a mother that God wanted to use in a marvelous way. She was called by God. She was prepared by God. And God had an ordination for her, a place for her to accomplish. Now, one of the things I notice in here is that Mary did have children later, and they were normal children, just like everybody else. And yes, I do believe that she bore children, just as Joseph, and they had a regular family. We didn't really learn a lot about those other children like we did about how this transpired. We didn't learn a lot about her, but we do know that she was a very godly woman. But the focus of her life was bearing that child. Ladies, aren't you glad God made you the way He did? God wants you to realize how important it is. How do I respond to it? I wrote four answers down. Number one, make sure that I know I'm a Christian on the way to heaven. I hope you know that today. I hope you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've not done that, I want to urge you to call on the Lord and ask Him to be your Savior today. If you want to know how to be a really good mother and get a good start, start with Jesus Christ. That's the best place. You want great children? Be a great mother or a great father. Number two, dedicate yourself to be the best servant you can be for God and your family. Just decide, I just want to serve God. I just want to be the best I can be for Him. Number three, write this one down. Look to Mary as a human example of a godly servant who loved her son and children, but keep in mind she was no goddess. We don't pray to Mary, we pray to Jesus Christ. Look to her as a godly example. And then number four, dedicate ourselves to be good parents to our children, an example of godliness to the next generation. I happen to believe this, and you can disagree with me if you want, but I happen to believe this. I think our children should go out and be involved in everything we have at our church. I think you ought to come back on Sunday night and be sitting in the service, hearing the preaching, be involved with mom and dad, sitting in the services of our church. When we give the invitation and they want to come, we ought to let them come. I don't think we ought to ever stay, oh no, don't go down. No, let them be involved. You say, they might make a little noise, so what? I'd rather them make a little noise and be in church than be home and quiet. It's healthy in a church. It's the way God wants it. Look, God's serious about this business. I think sometimes we've diminished the importance of it. It is vitally important. Where are you? Do you know Christ as Savior? Do you know you're going to heaven? And if you do, how about motherhood? Don't diminish its importance. You say, well, I've kind of messed up some of that. It doesn't matter. What's done is done. Just determine where you are to be all that God would have you to be, right where you are. You know what? If we're all perfect and did everything exactly perfect, we'd be in heaven. We're not going to be perfect. But thank God, He forgives all the time. And I'm glad He does. Let's pray.